Today's share in Mishneh Berurah Yomi is Daf Samach Ches Omud Beis. We're still in the middle of Siman Lamed Tes. We're concluding it today, Mitzvah Hashem, and we're discussing still some of the dinim of who you are allowed to purchase tefillin from and how to check the tefillin. So Sif Ches, Ein Nikochin Elimin Amumcha Shebaki B'Chaseros V'Yiseros. The Mechaber writes that you're only allowed to purchase tefillin from somebody who's an expert, a mumcha, who is knowledgeable in all of the missing letters and the extra letters and all of the deen that we learned about in the last couple of weeks in how to write a proper pair of tefillin, how to make a proper pair of tefillin. The Mishneh Berurah in Sivkot and Yutess writes, you have to purchase it from this mumcha, avolomi mishena mumcha, and obviously not from somebody who's not considered an expert, even though your intention is, I'm going to go check him out. I'll buy them from this guy, and I'll check him out with my expert back at home. You can't do that. You have to be concerned. People are people, and you'll be lazy, and you won't get a chance to take it into your sofa, and your expert, and you'll start wearing them. It's a big trouble. It's a tircha to go and find somebody, to undo the tefillin, and then to check them and to restitch them back together. So since human beings tend to be a little bit lazy, we don't allow you to purchase it in the first place unless it's known to be from an expert. And furthermore, it's absolutely clear the Mishu Sofer Kavul Rabbim Hubichla Mumcha. We don't have to go and start doing a Prabha on every Sofer. If a Sofer is considered a certified, well-known and recognized Sofer, he has a Cheskes Kashrus. Furthermore, the Mishnah Berurah says, Mezuzah, in terms of purchasing Mezuzah, V'uhadin ha-parshos shel tefillin, and the same thing is for the parshos of a pair of tefillin, Nikachos afilu shelo min ha-mumcha, that you're allowed to purchase from a person who's not a mumcha. However, ubitnai shiv dikena achakach, that you're going to go and check them. So since here it's not inside a box of tefillin, it's not inside something that's wrapped up and difficult to access, so here it can be purchased from a person who you don't know necessarily is a mumcha, because you'll have it checked out by a mumcha before it's used. Sif Tes. Lokach mi mishein a mumcha. If you did take a pair of tefillin from a person who is not a mumcha, tzorich levatkan. After the fact, you did this, so you certainly have to go and check them out. Mishneh Berurah and Sivkot and Chafalev says, what are you checking out over here? B'chaseros v'yiseros. You're checking out, is it missing letters? Does it have extra letters? Are the letters formed properly? V'adin betumunas ha'osios? Imhem kalocho. That's all you can check. You can't do anything about the lishma after the fact. But you're going to check at least if all of the parchment letters and the parchment itself are all without any holes or breaks or problems with them. As was discussed already in Siman Lamed Vav. You don't have to be concerned that it maybe wasn't formed or tanned and processed lishmon. Because mistama, somebody who is making tefillin, is probably a person who knows the basic halachas that it has to be done l'shem kedushas tefillin, and that's usually not a problem. You can rely upon that after the fact. Dirshu footnote 28 brings down something that we've talked about previously, a famous tshuva from the Shevet HaLevi Zatzal, who writes, Im nire shakone medaktek b'mitzos. If the person who's selling tefillin sees that the person who's buying it is an erlich yid and he wants to be punctilious in his performance of the mitzvahs, rotz liknos rak mashakosh lechatchila mehudur, he wants to buy a holy, good, excellent pair of tefillin, doesn't want a bidievit pair of tefillin, you must tell him if it's not an excellent pair of tefillin. You can't sell him a non-excellent pair of tefillin for a higher price, and tell him that it's an excellent pair of tefillin. And if you do this, you're over mekach tos, and it's a terrible sin. However, if you see that the kohen really doesn't care, a person walks into the store and says, I want a pair of tefillin, any pair of tefillin, a cheap, inexpensive pair of tefillin is the best, so then you can sell him a bidyevid kosher pair of tefillin. And the Mechaber continues and he writes, how do you go check out the tefillin? So if you purchase, for example, a large number of tefillin, lokach mimenu mea ketzitzos, if a person buys 100 batim of tefillin, Botek mehem, you have to go check shlosha kitzitzos. You have to go check 3 of the 100 boxes of tefillin that you bought. I'm talking about the box, not a cardboard box. I'm talking about the kitzitza, the tefillin itself, a tefillah itself. And you check 3 of the 100. Shtayim shorosh, v'ach shoyad, 2 shorosh is 1 shoyad, or vice versa. Shtayim shoyad, v'ach shorosh, 1 Rosh and 2 shoyads, and in mitzvah and kisherim. And if you check these out well, and 3 of the 100 are kosher, you have established a chazaka. Huchzak zeh ha'ish v'arikulam kisherim. Then you have established that this person is an erlich person, he's a reliable person, and you can halachically rely that the other 97 that you didn't check are kosher. V'ein hashar tzaruch redike, and you technically do not have to check all of the other pairs of tefillin. The Mishneh Berurah in Sivkot and Chavbeis adds on, however, this is only true. He says these are all 100 my tefillin. Or I purchased them from a reliable single individual. So all 100 are written by the same person. And in this situation, and when you can rely that all 100 were written by the same person, they're in one package together, they're all in one group together. The Prisha, one of the major commentaries on the Torah, said this, and therefore this is acceptable to rely upon this chazaka. However, as we'll see in a moment, if it was written by multiple people, it's in multiple bundles. You buy 100, but 12 are wrapped up in this way, another 10 are wrapped up in that way, another 10 are wrapped up in this way. So it's written by several different sofrim, so you can't establish a chazaka on one sofer and have that go for another sofer. And that's not what the Mechaber says. Im lekochen sivotim sivotim. If you buy them packages by packages, in other words, you buy a bundle of tefillin and another bundle of tefillin, another bundle of tefillin, all from the same wholesaler, so you're buying it from one person, but it's actually written, the bundles are each written by a different sofer, so then you have to presume that they're written by multiple different sofrim, and therefore you can only use this chazaka for each bundle. For each bundle, let's say there's 10 in this bundle, so you check 3 of them, and the other 7 are good. Then you take the next bundle, another 10. So you check 3, the other 7 are good. That sofer each time is now considered to be reliable. But you can't presume, just because you checked in this bundle over here, 3 were good, that from the other bundle written by a different sofer, that those are good as well. The Mechaber continues and he writes, Hamocher tefillin. If a person sells tefillin, v'amar shiur shel adam gadol, and he says, this was the Chavetz Chaim pair of tefillin. So then, Nemon, if the person is trustworthy, so he's believed to say, this is the Chavetz Chaim's tefillin, person has a cheskes kashrus, and therefore, einon tzrichim bedika. You don't have to go and check. They are guaranteed that they are kosher. The Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Chof Gimel writes about that the person said that he purchased it from a gadol. Nira duhu adin, the same din would apply im amar shalakach mimumcha. If he doesn't say, well, this was the Chofetz Chaim's tefillin, but he says this is a well-known sofer's tefillin, so that also would be acceptable. Again, an adam has a cheskes kashrus, and if he says this is from who it is, we believe him. In Dirshu, footnote number 29, he brings down that the same thing would be true by a woman. He brings down the Sefer Afike Maginim, who writes, Nemanes, a woman would be believed also, Lomar Shahayu Shel Adam Godol. Ish Echod and Eid Echod is Neman Bisurim. It applies to an Ish, it applies to an Isha. That's how a person's allowed to go home and eat at home if his wife serves him food and she says it's kosher. How are you allowed to rely upon it? You don't have two Eidim testifying. So the answer is, Eid Echod Neman Bisurin, any person, a man or a woman, is acceptable to comment about an Isser. And here, if the woman says that this was purchased from a reliable sofer, a mumcha, or it was an Odom Godos peritvillin, it is reliable. You can trust her. This is really what the Mechaber continues, and he finishes off Sif Tes by saying, Neman ve'einon tzrichim bedika. You can believe a person, as I just said, a man or a woman in this situation, and it doesn't require bedika. Sif Katan Chof Daled, the Mishnah Berurah writes, the reasoning that I said before, the Eid Echod Neman Bisurin, a single person is believed regarding Yisurim. He then quotes the Magen Avraham, Dal kol panim ba'inan shemakirin oso shehu muchzor b'kashrus. This individual who you are trusting should be somebody that is recognizably a kosher person, man or woman, but they have to be muchzor b'kashrus, especially nowadays when so many people are involved who are not so erlich in the selling of tefillin and mezuzos, because it's a lucrative business for them. And therefore, nowadays, especially the post can bring down, one has to make sure that the person that you're buying it from is an erlicha person, muchzok bikashrus. In Dishu footnote 30, he brings down a very famous Aruch HaShulchan from Yoridea, Simon Kufiotes. And the Aruch HaShulchan there defines who is muchzok bikashrus. How do you tell is a person muchzok bikashrus? How do you establish that somebody's an erlicha person? So he says, Misnaig apidas Yisrael, he acts like a frum yid. You can see him that he wears talis and tefillin, he davens 3 times a day in a minyan. You see, he washes his hands before he eats. He raises his children properly. And you can essentially see that he's involved in all sorts of things that are holy. So that person has a status of a cheskes kashrus, not based upon what clothing he wears, not based upon what type of a yarmulke he wears, but based upon his actions, his midos, and the way he conducts himself. That defines a person having a cheskes kashrus. Again, unfortunately, Bava Nusseinu or Rabbi, if a person looks the part but isn't acting the part, he very quickly loses that cheskes kashrus, and anything you purchase from him would not be under the rubric over here of it being a cheskes kashrus. The Mishnah Berurah further adds, The imri'inuhu shelavoshim bi'atzmo. Also, if you saw that the person who's selling to you actually wore that pair of tefillin, nemo b'chol gavni, then you can rely that they are kosher pair of tefillin, because the la'avar bi'atzmo b'vadei eino kosher. We're certainly not concerned that he's wearing those tefillin and he's just doing it for show. Again, unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, if you know that that's the case, obviously the person doesn't have a cheskes kashrus. But the stam person who you see wearing tefillin, and then you say, that's a beautiful pair of tefillin, he says, oh, you know, I'm desperate for money, would you like to buy them? So then you can assume that they have a cheskes kashrus to them. Sivkat and Chafei, the Mishnah Berurah says, Ein Nantzrichim B'dika. Why? Shechazaka al Chaver Sheino Motzi Mitachas Yod Dodover Sheino Mesuker. Because we have a general rule that the average Stam Erlich Yid will not take something out that is not kosher and try to sell it or pawn it off as being not kosher, as being kosher. Now we go to the final Sif in Simen Lamites, Sif Yud. Tfilin Shehuchzuku B'kashrus Ein Nantzrichim B'dika Liolam. This is a very important halacha that we're going to be discussing. How often do you have to check your tfilin? So the Mechaber writes, if you have established that your tefillin are kosher, they were checked out by a kosher sofer, so then they never ever need to be checked again. Tefillin shehuchzu b'kashrus einan tzrichim b'dika li'olam. They never have to be checked again. That's the basic thing the Mechaber brings down. However, he says, v'im eino minichin el leprokin, but that's only because you wear them every day. But if you only wear them on an irregular basis, tzrichim b'dika pa'mayim b'shavua, then you have to check them twice in a shavua. A shavua means a seven-year period of time. A Shavua is the sabbatical Shavua, the 7 years of the Shemitah cycle. So you have to check it twice within that seven-year period of time, i.e. every 3.5 years. The Mishnah Berurah comments over here in Sifkat and Chavav, and he writes, La'olam, you don't have to ever check them. Why? Shekol zman shechipuyin shalim, as long as they're intact, the covering, the ketzitza, the mavarta, the tetura, they're all intact, harehen b'cheskosan min hadin, then they remain halachically valid through a chazaka that they're kosher. We don't have to be concerned that maybe a letter inside the parchment got rubbed out, or there's a hole in the parchment that would make it puzzle. However, the Mishnah Berurah then brings this down in the name of the Magen Avraham, Mikol Makom Nachon LeBotkon. The proper way is to go and check them. Why? Mipnei Shemiskalkalin Mipnei Hazeah. Because it's very frequent and common that they do get messed up because of the sweat on your arm, the sweat on your forehead, that the tefillin can get ruined. However, in Dirshu footnote number 34, he brings down that nowadays this halacha may be different because of technological advances. And he brings down the tshuva from the great Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal, She'ein tzarech livdok es ha'tfilin shebehem lelo sibas miyuchedes, that nowadays you do not have to check a well beautiful hiddur pair of tefillin. Those are all the caveats that he adds. Can't just say this for any pair of tefillin. But if you purchased a highly reliable, excellent mehudur pair of tefillin, and there is no reason, it didn't fall into water, as we'll see in a second, or something like that, that suggests that it may be possible, mishum she'ein lochush tiskalkalu bizeya. Nowadays, the tefillin are made so much better, you don't have to be concerned that the sweat of the person got inside and somehow ruined it. And he says, adarabah, the exact opposite. Better not to open them up. Apirov mitzuyos takolos rakli achash poskum levodkum. Nowadays, he says, the tefillin actually get a problem because you open them up. And Shlomo Zalman paskins that you shouldn't go and open up the tefillin, again, with the caveat that they were 100% excellent, high-quality tefillin in the first place. I'm not talking about a pair of tefillin that's from 40, 50, 60 years ago, when that may not be the case. But if you buy a brand-new, mehudar, beautiful pair of tefillin, he would say you do not have to check them, and it's better actually not to. Mishnah Berurah continues and says, V'im nikrav chipo yabatim, but if the batim are torn, o shenishu b'mayim, or they fell into water, you must immediately check them. Why? Because maybe the parchment got rubbed out or ruined in some way. And if a pair of tefillin does need to be checked, but there's no sofer available to open them up and sew them up, you can put them on, but without a bracha. Because once there's a potential for kilkel, it fell into water, it got wet, or it got ripped, so then you can't rely upon the chazok anymore. Then he brings down the chayyadim, du adin munochim b'makom lach. He says this is true if they're in a moist place as well. V'akol v'yayin. You have to use common sense and figure out, is there a risk that they got ruined or not? In Sivkat and Chav Zayin, the Mishnah Berurah writes, you have to check in with prokim. What does that mean? The chayshinon, you have to be concerned, shemon is afshut, that they got spoiled in some way. The chach, yivdekem shnei panim b'shmita. That's why you should check them approximately 2 times during the 7-year cycle, roughly every 3.5 years. Now we go to the Ramah, who concludes this siman, Hagah, v'im ein lo mi sheyuchal livdok v'lachuz tofren. If you don't have somebody who can go and check your tefillin for you, and you have this chashash on them, What should you do? You don't have another pair of tefillin. Yinichem kach below bedika. You are allowed to put them on without a bedika. And the Mishnah Brewery in Sivkot and Chavches says, when you do put them on, what about a bracha? So he says, mashma mechayyodim the tzorach levarach, that you should make a bracha on it. Why? Hatam nira mishum delo reinu alein reyusa berura. Because we don't have a valid, absolute certainty over here that they are ruined. It's only a question. And therefore, you can rely still enough upon the chazaka to put it on with a bracha. However, that's only when you don't have a high likelihood that they're no good. However, im nishru b'mayim, if they fell into water, ocean is kalkalor, if the leather was ripped on it, or anything like that, then you couldn't put them on, you don't have any chazak at all. And Mishnah Brewer leaves this unanswered. He then concludes and says, hamotzi tefillin mushlochim b'gniz, if you find the pair of tefillin in a place where they discarded old svarim and tefillin and mezuzos, and it doesn't have ritzuos, below ritzuos, and it's psuchim, and it's opened up, the ketzitz is opened up, so then certainly yesh lochush yesh lem psul nistar, they certainly have to be concerned that there's a psul in them that may not even be recognizable. However, but if you find the pair of tefillin, and it's looking like it's perfectly usable, and has been used, so then one doesn't have to presume that it's not good. In the Dirshu footnotes, he brings down a couple of other interesting points. In footnote 31, he writes, if you're purchasing tefillin from a person that passed away, so then ideally you should check them. However, he brings down from Chaim Kanievsky that you don't absolutely have to go and check them. In Dirshu footnote number 33, he goes through a discussion which we've had previously as well, Rachmana Litzlan, if somebody has been wearing a pair of tefillin that aren't kosher. He thought he bought it from an Erlicha person, they were reviewed and checked even several times and were found to be kosher, and then subsequently it turns out there really was a psul the whole time. So he basically goes through several different opinions here to say that the person who is in this situation shouldn't feel terrible about it. He has tried to do the mitzvah, Hashem will understand and give him credit possibly even for doing the mitzvah, just like as if he actually did the mitzvah, or at least he'll be considered an onus, certainly. The bracha levatolos there is certainly not a problem because he said baruch shem v'lo machuso, but he brings down that in the name of Rosh Shlomo Zalman, that person should try to wear his tefillin a little bit extra at the end of davening to learn with them a little bit, to say some extra kapitlach of tefillin with them on, and this way he will make a tikkun for the years and times that he didn't wear tefillin. In Dishu 35, he brings down that if you did purchase a tefillin from somebody who's not a mumcha and you find problems in them, even though those problems themselves are b'dievet okay, that casts an entire aspersion on the entire tefillin, and one shouldn't use such a pair of tefillin, unless you can somehow verify that they were written by a kosher person. This will conclude today's shiur.